Okay, today is Tuesday, August 18th, 2020, and this is the new moon session. And for those of you who don't know me, hi Jackie, I see you, I hear you too. Or I see you, I don't hear you, sadly. This is the new moon session, and this is Debbie Moran, for those of you who don't know me. So, let's just breathe together. And I'm going to do my best to keep up with the chat here on Facebook Live as well as over at the free conference call. So if you have any intentions, please feel free to state them now or at any time throughout the session. And for those of you who are new for this is an actual session. And it incorporates a lot of different components. Not just from body talk, but a lot of different components, and we could even go into meditation and some techniques, but it really forms by whoever shows up. So it's lined up, this energy forms an energy field around the people that actually show up in the sessions, and some people don't always show up in the sessions, but they show up intentionally, and so it's different every time. And let's just breathe together for a few moments. So, those who have been with me for a while, hi, Lisa. I'm always looking forward to this. I haven't been on Facebook much, but I don't know why. I feel like just the energy has forced me inward, and that's where I've been doing my work. And so I've been kind of enjoying that little bit of isolation, so I'm happy to be here tonight. If anybody has any intentions, please state them. I feel like, personally, I don't have any specific intentions other than the ones that I pretty much have on my life. And my focus is always on being present to awakening and helping others to remember the truth of who they are. You know, I'm just going to keep talking until somebody actually gives me other input. Right now, I'm just getting the input that's coming in. So what I'm getting is our planet itself is not just an ecosystem and our home where we live and partner. It is a living, sentient being. Hey, sis, love you too. And we, at least from my current level of perspective and a lot of people's, is we have forgotten our connection to everything as one infinite being of light. And my focus is always about how can we wake that up? How can we remember that? How can we bring that to life, literally bring that to life in our lives and in our world? And these times are perfection. They feel scary and chaotic for a lot of people because of the dynamics of feeling like they're forced inside and feeling like there's no choice, when it's exactly the opposite, actually. When I say the opposite, I'm not saying that the reality out there is not that reality. What I'm saying is the dynamic is it's a huge opportunity to go within, which is kind of what I've been taking advantage of myself. An opportunity to go within to do that self-awakening, self-awareness work, to be that presence that radiates out in the world to kind of send out those ripples to wake up others, knowing that there are no others. We're all one. We're all the same. We all have different perceptions. We all have different awarenesses. We all have different roles and purposes and appearances. Not just human beings, but living entities that sustain us. And And it's time we awaken to that. And we're being given this opportunity. So somebody said on Facebook recently that the universe has put us on timeout. And I would actually reframe that as we're being put on time in, or we're being offered time in. And what are we going to do with that? Are we going to take advantage of that? Are we going to work with that? Because quite frankly, the world is no worse off than it has been since the beginning of time. It's just now it's in everybody's faces. And we can't escape it anymore. So now it's time for us to show up, to see how we can shift and evolve. And remember our essence. Remember the truth of our being. You know, the word human means is another word for God, and man means mind of God. So we are that extension of that presence. Call it whatever you will. And it's called a lot of things. Doesn't really matter what it's called. It matters how we live it, how we are, how we be in the world. So let's all breathe together. And feel free to keep the lines open, but if you're going to make on the call, if you're moving around, please mute your phone by hitting *6. And you can always unmute by hitting *6. This is an interactive session. So, yes, it's flowing through me, but it's flowing through me for all of us, which means if something comes to you, feel free to interject. So, okay. My friend Brian Hill, who's an astrologer, those of you who know me know I've been doing this for 10 years now. Wow, 10 years. And I've been doing it every new moon. I'm not an astrologer. In fact, when I was first called to do it, I thought, why am I being called to do new moon sessions? I'm not an astrologer, and I'm not sure I'm competent. But I didn't care. I've just followed the guidance. So I've been doing it for 10 years, loving it. And I've been evolving with it, as we all have. And I've been informed of a lot. And don't get me wrong, the one thing that I know from all the information that comes into and through me is that the picture is too big to know anything, actually. So in other words, the more I know, the more I know I don't know. And I'm loving being with that unknown curiously. Not without feelings. Many feelings surface, and I feel a lot of the feelings around me. But I'm loving being with the unknown. And I have faith that whatever occurs is for all of our highest good, no matter how it appears. So we're going to go into the planets. I started to say my friend Brian Hill, he made it concise this time in his weekly forecast. I love his weekly forecast. They're simple but clear. And this week it was about a pregnancy. And the pregnancy is, what are we being impregnated with? In other words, what do we want to come to life? And going inward to truly find out what that is, without all the preconceptions about what we thought it was up till now, being open to the possibility that the scope is wider, the picture is wider, and that there's much more to what's going on than we're aware of. And there's much more available than what we're aware of. for all life. And so in that curiousness and that uncertainty, I know, me too, Jackie, thank you. And in that uncertainty, if we can be comfortable in the discomfort of that uncertainty rather than uncomfortable in the discomfort of that uncertainty, then all kinds of doors and windows can open, all kinds of opportunities can show up and present themselves. So if we're going to go into the mind, and I feel like there is, like I'm holding my hands here, and it feels like that's some sort of constriction. It even looks crooked when I look at the picture. The pictures distract me, by the way. That's why I resisted doing them for so long. So there is a sense of constriction, and yet I'm feeling this expansion happening. Oh, I love this. So we talked about conceive, believe, receive. So it really is like a pregnancy, and it's a pregnancy of possibilities. And what does that mean? And how can we be with it? So it's opening up the scope of our level of awareness at the mind level, clearing those levels of stickiness, like this sticky film that's kind of keeping us contracted and keeping us unavailable to the energy coming in through the crown of our heads and down through our bodies. And through governing vessel 20, the crown of our head. So linking the brow and the crown chakras, which also links the hypothalamus and the thalamus and the pineal and the pituitary. And bringing them together with the senses, sight, smell, taste, hearing, and touch. Boy, I just get goosebumps. A couple birds just flew by and it just created this shiver, this ripple of movement. So it's like dissipating some of the tension around what we've been experiencing and allowing us to be a little less on edge and more available to, like I said, curiosity, wonderment. That old biblical phrase, be like little children, means be in wonderment. And so it's being in that place of wonderment and what's possible with an enthusiastic heart and soul and an integrated brain, head, heart, gut, and our evolutionary brain, which is this prefrontal cortex, which is growing over. And, you know, all the babies are born with newer, evolved brains, which is why babies are much faster. And technologically, they can figure it out. But those of us who have been here a while are still, our brains are evolving, and it's evolving over this area. And who knows how it's going to evolve more, but this is where they're seeing the new growth. And this is the area that's most related to the heart, too. It's this forward thinking, this evolutionary potential possible brain that no longer clings to the past. And I feel like this area at the base of the skull, and in Pennsylvania Dutch, they actually call this the mouth of God. And this is an area where the head and spine meet that is susceptible to intrusions, I'd say invasions, but I read a psychic book once that said nothing ever affects you from the outside. It's always invited in. In other words, you always open the door, which means everything is a reflection of everything. And if something is coming to you, it's because you have a resonance there and it's able to hook into that. So we're like cleaning up this area from history, from everybody's past, to disentangle a lot of those old patterns, those old dominating patriarchal dynamics. And when I say patriarchal, I don't mean male. I don't mean true masculine. I mean patriarchal. That is kind of the perverted version of masculinity. And so we're coming to a point where the feminine is rising, but the feminine up till now has been rising like the masculine in a kind of perverted masculine way. And we're being called to evolve into the divine attributes of femininity and masculinity. We all have feminine and masculine within us. They're just different qualities. So it's bringing some clarity to that by removing a lot of those cords and confusion from those historical patterns and memories and programs. That's then going to the heart. First I thought the diaphragm, but no, it's going to the heart and then to the gut. Heart and then to the gut, the diaphragm to intestines and the gut. There is a sense of indigestion. Something is indigestible to many of us. Many things are indigestible to many of us right now because, quite frankly, things are crazy out there. And yet, we need to take care of the craziness in here so that less craziness out there needs to show up. So everybody just breathe, and I'm holding my hand, you can't see it, holding my hand here, like just at the diaphragm area. For some reason, that is where it wants to be held. And then I'm going to tap it out. And I'm just going to tap it out, not with cortices, but just head, heart, and gut, brain. And I highly encourage you all to do the same. Just breathe into the nose, out through the mouth, into the belly, out of the belly. And then tapping out the navel, head, heart, and belly. Hi, Rhonda. Hi, Linda. Hi, everybody. So, I'm feeling some discomfort in my shoulders and neck. So it feels like somebody is feeling like really heavy in their tension in the shoulders and in the neck. And it feels a bit like, okay, here's an image that's coming to mind. And it seems like a past life image. And it's an image of a slave. Actually, it's an image of a lot of slaves. And those old wood contraptions that they used to put around their neck and shoulders and then hook their arms out to keep them from being able, basically, to do anything, to get away or to protect themselves. And I say themselves, this is a past life that's showing up, and it's showing up and it's affecting us all. And it is that component of enslavement. And it's that enslavement of the mind over the body. It's that separation, actually that wooden contraption is being a perfect representation of how the head is seen as the individual and the rest of the body as seen as the slave, the worker. Because the body's role is to move. We're meant to move. But the mind forgets this brain, actually. the mind is different than the brain. The brain is the organ that allows the mind to actually show up. But this brain has been actually so deified. This brain has been deified. It has been deified and alienated from the rest of the body. And it's time to integrate it now. It's time to free this brain, to free these two brains. It's time to integrate our past. So by pulling out all of those cords earlier, this is allowed to show up. It's allowed to show us that, okay, let's drop this wooden contraption that's got us all choked around our necks and our arms and hanging there, and let's just let it roll off our backs and shake it free. Nice. I have no idea if that was one specific person on this call or if it was simply for all of us. But it is for all of us. I know it's for all of us, but I don't know if it was related to one specific person on this call. So let's see what else shows up. Okay, now we're going into the throat. And self-expression. So we're going into the throat chakra and the solar plexus chakra. We're linking them, throat, solar plexus. And they're yin and yang of one another. So we're linking the yin and yang, the masculine and feminine. This is yin, solar plexus is yang. And linking them to bring forth divine willpower. Up until now, most of our expression has come from our wounding, has come from our childhood, has come from an immature level of spirituality and understanding. Oh, okay, Lisa, thank you for letting me know that. Lisa says it may have been her, and I think you may be right, actually. And thank you for sharing that, too, running in your mind. And that's really what's going on with the mind. The mind is really, really running. It's running for its life. It's running for its life. It's running for its life, or it's fighting for its life. And it doesn't need to do that. It just thinks that it needs to do that. We have this silly saying that says, I think, therefore I am. Well, you're able to think because you are. So it's really kind of like this inversion of reality. Yay, shake it off and run free. That's really wonderful. I have this image now of you running through a field barefoot, maybe even naked, just running through a field, shaking it all off. That's great. And it brings me to another thing with body talk. From the very beginning, there's a saying that we had, is we are naked beneath our clothes, which means basically there's nothing to hide. It's not about spilling your guts to everyone and everything, but just about being totally who you are naturally, essentially you are. Uh-huh. Thank you, honey. So, Norman says from his perspective, it was from enslavement, from carrying his father's guilt. Lisa said it may have been her, and she was rubbing her neck and then running in her mind, and Jackie likes naked in the garden. So, I think it's all of that. I think it's all of us in our own way. And, yes. Let's shake it all off. Everybody just shake it off. Many of you have heard me say this before. if you watch a dog get into a fight or an animal get into a fight, their hair raises and their body tenses up and they get in a fight. And as soon as they get done, they walk away and they shake it off. And that is an instinct that is essentially resetting the nervous system. So shaking and moving the body is a really, really good thing to do. To shake it off literally does work. It literally resets the nervous system. So, I love it. Shake off clothes too. Yep. Feel free. I won't do it here, but feel free. Okay. Things are kind of settling in right now. Something else is moving through. So just breathe with me and let's see what comes through. That just felt like, hi, Annie, I love you too. Yeah, I love the new moon too, Barry. Hi. Hey, Annie in Colorado. Miss you, girl. Oh. So. I felt like, as I was shaking that last time, it just felt like something else just breathed. It almost felt phantom-like. Yes, everyone. Thank you, Norman. The new moon is actually at 11:08 p.m. tonight, so we're actually early. I think this may be one of the rare times that we're actually early from the new moon. It's always done on the day of the new moon, but usually we're after it. But we're early today. So this is beautiful because we can set the stage and transformation. And just if you go to bed before 11, just go to bed with the thought of 11:08, like setting a mental alarm, not to wake you up physically, but to wake you up consciously, to crack open the false selves, the false barriers of the heart, and the false shielding of ourselves and our bodies. Okay. So, I'm going to go now to the brain, the corpus callosum. Corpus callosum runs between the brain, and it's theoretically its function is to create communication between the right and left hemispheres, between the feminine and masculine. And what it's been doing is mostly blocking up till now. Instead of allowing the communications to come through clearly, it's been distorting them and blocking them. So we're going to work with the corpus callosum to clean out those receptors, those neurotransmitters, and to align it with the hemispheres. There's also a concept that the hemispheres have developed out of alignment, like the right hemisphere in most people has developed moving forward and the left hemisphere moving backwards. In the past, I've seen things about movements, and I'm getting right now that has to do with the rotation of the earth. And so it's like really aligning everybody's hemispheres harmoniously in balance to communicate so that the information is being received by both halves of the brain, which are really one whole brain. So by getting that communication interacting left to right, it's letting our brains come to whole function, which will then make them more available to realize, remember, that there's a heart brain here that has to do with feelings and relating, and there's a gut brain here that has to do with assimilating, digesting, and putting things into reality, into matter, into form. Oh. okay, that just, it was like I saw in orbit something spinning. What is that? It looks like the rings of Saturn, which in the brain is the putamen. So it's like affecting the rings of Saturn, which are in our brain, the part of the brain called the putamen. And that has to do with, again, bringing things into reality. So things are aligning in our heads. And the solar system truly is in our bodies from Vedic philosophy, that they knew that eons ago. And we're just scientists just now catching up. So it's aligning our centers, aligning our axis, our axis. Each of our axes, I don't even know if axis is the right word, but each of our axes to ourselves and one another and the earth and the world around us. My mind has a sense of humor and sense with little songs every now and then. What structure is Saturn's rings? What do you mean, what structure is Saturn's rings? It's all part of the putamen. So I don't think that there is a, I don't think they identified a specific part other than the putamen as Saturn. So I think it's all included there somehow. If I find out differently, I will put it on the new moon page for you. How about that? And this is all information. It's great information. But really is, it is, how can we embody it? Guys, how can we embody this? How can we bring our spirits into our bodies? Right, that's what I'm telling you. I don't know what brain structure other than Saturn is the putamen, or putamen, depending on how you say it. It's P-U-T-A-M-E-N. And I think that includes Saturn's rings. So if it doesn't, I will let you know if I find out. But for now, all I know is putamen is Saturn in the brain. And I started saying, then I'll maybe put it on the new moon page. But I'm not sure that that's, I can. Maybe I can. Part of the Purana work at Earth Body Talk, and it's part of Maharishi Yoga's work. Yep, there it is. Thank you, Lisa. So, there is an orientation and an alignment going on internally with the hemispheres, with the corpus callosum, with the putamen, and with all of the structures within the brain. And then I feel it lining up with the central vessel that goes down through the body, down through the spine, and down into the earth. And this is where the life force flows through, the kundalini flows through. And there's a blockage. There's a blockage. And there's a blockage right about the intersection just before, where is that? It's about T8. At that area around T8, there's an intersection. Ah, thank you, Jackie. That's good to remind me of, thank you, because that's important for the eye muscles, and that's important with our senses. And I don't know if I said this earlier, but our senses are all being aligned with that. Happy new moon, Denise. So when the senses are being aligned, that also includes the sense organs. So the eyes are a big part of that, actually. But what I'm getting is we as a species have made our eyes. I don't know why I'm doing it this way. This is a mudra. We have made our eyes. Yep, this way. Our reality checkers. We have made our eyes the determining witnesses of what's real. And the irony of that is our eyes see everything upside down, and our brains turn it right side up, which is very curious if you actually feel into it. But if that's the truth, if that's the truth, then what filters or what perceptions are we misperceiving when we allow our eyes to be our informants rather than our inner eyes? So this is where we're working with the third eye again. Now taking it to the throat again. And then taking it to the back third eye. So it's like linking these, making new pathways. Because every program we have in our body has a neural pathway. And the more we do it habitually, which most of what we do is habitually, the more we do it habitually, the deeper the pathway, the deeper the rut, the more challenging, the harder it can be to get out of that rut, to find a new pathway. So what we're doing is doing repairs of those pathways, kind of filling in the ruts so that new pathways can form. New perceptions can be discovered, received. New perceptions can be received. New ways of being can be perceived. And we're going to hydrate all of that, and I'm thirsty right now, so I suggest that everybody take a drink if you have it. If you don't have it, I suggest you might get some. Now we're going to sacred geometry and the flower of life. The flower of life is showing up as well as children, no. Flower of life, yes. Linking to the navel. The flower of life is linking to the navel. Don't ask me why, guys. That's just what's showing up. Flower of life is linking to the navel. The flower of life in sacred geometry is the form you see everywhere. It's those circles within circles within circles within circles that basically represent the structure of life. Now we're going to do what's called cellular repair. This all has to do with those habits that we're talking about enslavement and about misperception around our senses. And we're shifting those filters, working with those filters. Hi, Tanya. Thank you. I'm glad you're receiving it. And working and shifting those filters around the senses. Oof. And something in the ears that's been, what, blocking. There's something been blocking in the ears. Actually, what we're doing is we're working with the senses, and we're working with the sense organs in terms of the cellular repair. Because what I said earlier about the eyes, is they see everything upside down. It's like our organs. They're the receivers in a way. And so what is going on with our hearing is there's so much electromagnetic static that's just we're being bombarded with all the time with our computers, with our phones, with electricity, that it's created this overwhelm and this buzz in the brain, which has created this static in the sense of hearing. And the resistance to go within, because quite frankly, so much of the world is hearing static that they keep making noise. I say they. I know so many people have tinnitus, and recently I just experienced it periodically. But I'm recognizing that we make things louder and louder and louder in our environment, And it's kind of like, it's almost like this is so distressing that we're trying to shut it out, but we don't realize that that is creating this. And if we just breathe, the static will quiet down. So right now you can't see it. You can see where this hand is, but my left hand is pointing down to the ground, to the root. So it's like bringing this energy down and rooting it, anchoring it into the earth, into the element of the earth. And what shows up is like the energy of a forest. If you've ever been deep in a forest, there is a quiet that is sensed. And there is a connection. And it's like, it's not just the woods, it's they've discovered this network, this neural network that is very much related to fungus and mushrooms. And so this neural network is like one big living entity. Yes, there are all these different trees and all these different plants, but the forest is like one big biosystem. Thank you, Jackie. Jackie says, I was at Esalen for a month and no tinnitus for 35 days. When I came back home, it was back in 2 days. That's what I'm getting at. There's so much noise out there. So I actually encourage you guys to take off a couple of days throughout the week off of the computer, off of technology, off of phones, off of everything, and just be in the quiet. Yes. I've never seen the redwoods yet, Linda. I hope I make it there while they're still there. So I see them in my energy field in my mind. I feel them. So we're rooting that. We're rooting this energy. We're rooting these senses. We're rooting especially the sense of hearing, the sense of sight, all of the senses. We're anchoring them, bringing them down into the earth, almost like we're planting ourselves. Oh, I love this. So it's like when we talked about what is being birthed, what is being impregnated, we are, if we're willing. And what that means is we're being rooted into the earth, a bit like a seed. And we have the opportunity to breathe into that essence as if we have the opportunity to start all over. And not start all over going through the process of, oh, my God, I can't take care of myself and I have to need my mom and dad. It's really about the process of reparenting ourselves. They are healing, Sandra. But you don't have to. Going there is fantastic, but if you don't have access to forest, go there internally. It's all here. It's all within us. So we are what is being impregnated. And so what I mean by that is the earth is being impregnated by those of us who are willing, me too, sis, those of us who are willing to actually become new without any resistance or shaking off any resistance that shows up to thinking that's not possible. Without and letting go of the what we know, what we think we know, what we think we know already is really our biggest problem. What we think we know gets in the way of what we don't know. And more often than not, we're afraid of what we don't know. When if we just get out of the way of thinking we know everything, then what we don't know can show up and you can find out how amazing it can be how amazing it can be. Oh, I'm going to tap that in. No, I'm tapping it in. I'll just tell a story. Because I used to hate surprises. My dear friends, Deb and Barry, came to visit me once, and Barry liked doing surprises. And I'm like, no, I don't like surprises. I want to know what's going on. So don't try to surprise me. I don't like them. But he let us surprise him one day, and we literally blindfolded him, put him in a car, and drove him to a place, walked him through the gates of the place, through Selby Gardens, and had everybody there at the desk look at us like we were crazy, but and nobody said a word till we got through the gates. And it was so fun to do that with him that I totally changed my perception of, oh, I don't like surprises anymore. But now I do. It was a beautiful day. And so it's really about being open to surprises without bringing the past to the present and the fear of what that surprise might be, and then it might be harmful. So I'm back to this position again, and this is an interesting place for my hand to keep going. It has to do, I think, very much with our individuality. In body talk, this is where, well, this is a diaphragm anyway, and it's right there around the lungs and the ribs. But in body talk, there is a dynamic where this area is where our individuality is housed, where our masculine and feminine are housed. And that's what we get from our parents. And what we get from our parents is every experience they ever had, good, bad, indifferent, brutal, whatever, every experience our parents had, and every experience their parents and their parents and their parents and every ancestor from that parent's line, every experience throughout history. So we get all that. That's a lot. And that's what we need to shake off, all of that past. That's what we unplugged earlier. And now it feels like we're just taking more off, like it's like a big backpack, like we've been on this long mountain hike. And it's like this backpack goes all the way back through time and space. And I'm just going to, like, just take it off now. Everybody take off your own backpack. Breathe through. Step out of it and get away from it. Turn around, shake it off, and watch it disappear back through time and space, back to source, back to God, back to infinite light in creation. And feel how much lighter that feels. It's like, oh, wow, my shoulders and neck. I may have a little more freedom, a little more range of motion here. I'm feeling a pain in my left shoulder. So, this is heart. This is the feminine, and this is the heart. Not that the masculine doesn't have a heart, but this is the feminine, and this is the heart. This is a sadness, a deep, deep sadness. Of feeling repressed, of repression. And this is not just women feeling repressed. This is the feminine in men and women being repressed. And it's a sadness. And again, it goes back through time and space. And throughout dimensions of time and space, actually. It's the tenderness. The heart. Ah, this new moon is in Leo. And Leo is of the heart. There's a beautiful image on the new moon page if we want to look at it. And I've often said, courage is the roar of the heart. Because the heart and love is not sweet, sappy, everything is all hunky-dory, sweet, sappy. Sometimes it feels, it roars. Sometimes the heart roars, but always in love. And it hasn't been able to roar. We want to remove that. This is what I talked about earlier, the false selves. We want to remove that false heart. It's like an armor around the heart. There's a part of the heart called the pericardium that's it protects the heart. But more often than not, we develop, because of life experiences and how we perceive them as children and how we swallow them, stuff them, repress them, how we made them monstrous, because that's what children do. Their experiences are monstrous because they're massive, because children's lives are little and their parents and the world around them is so big. We create these barriers to our heart to protect ourselves. And we want to remove them now. Remove those heart shackles. Remove those heart walls. And when I say heart walls, it's not your actual heart walls. It's the energetic heart walls that show up to keep love out, to keep people and experiences at a distance. And what happens is opposite. When we have those walls, we think, oh, we're protected. It's not true at all. When we have those walls, we can't think clearly. That's clearly, what I'm seeing is part of the reason that this brain isn't connecting with this heart is because these walls were built. And so those walls were a barrier to this head brain actually remembering the heart. So we want to remove those walls and take that out so that these brains can communicate, so that this brain can come up with ideas and this brain can put together the pieces and the related relationships and the feelings, and this brain can put it into action. Wow, okay. So a lot of history is just unwinding right now. I see a lot of things that we were programmed with as children. And one of the things that showed up, just so you guys can see what's showing up, is one of the things that showed up was the ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy, and London Bridge is falling down. I mean, it's like, I mean, how did we even get that? I mean, many of us are here in the U.S. and like, where did that come from? And it came from our history. And these are things we programmed, we had as children. And my favorite, this is what we did every night. Donna, you ready? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Holy crap. How does that feel, going to sleep with that feeling of I may die? So these are all things that we innocently intended for good. To make light of. But what it did was instead make it more tangible, more rooted. Oh, I love that. That's why we're rooting now. You see me shaking. It's like now I'm going down, and it's like almost like a jackhammer. But it's really like roots going down into the earth. And these are the roots that we planted before. Yeah. Yeah, Lisa, you used to say that too. Doesn't surprise me. So those roots are the roots we're pulling up. Those roots, those programming, those things that we meant no harm. We actually meant well. I have a habit of looking up sayings. You ever hear the road to hell is paved with good intentions? Well, that's the way we do it. We mean well, but we continually reaffirm those traumas from the past. And it's time to unravel those traumas from the past and let them go back to their source, back to their origin. No make wrong. Nobody's wrong. This is everybody does the best they can. Our ancestors did the best they can. Our ancestors do not want us to repeat what they did, what they lived. They want us to create from a place of clarity and truth. Problem with truth is everybody has a different version of truth through their own senses. They want us to create from a place of clarity and love. And actually, the problem with love is everybody has a different interpretation. And from my perspective, love includes everything, all of those definitions. But ultimately, it's all there is. And it's about putting yourself in your rightful place, which is in your body. Bringing your soul into alignment with your heart, and all of that in alignment with your spirit, and bringing it into your body so that you can bring it to life. We need to bring life to life. We need to bring light to life. We need to bring ourselves to life. Well, we don't need to, but it would be better. I mean, would it be better? We don't need to, but I prefer it. I would like us. I would prefer us to bring us to life, because I would prefer to awaken that creative source that is infinite within us. I would prefer that we bring heaven to life within ourselves and within our lives and in this world. So, back at this position again. I don't know why. I'm just following the guidance. But it feels like, again, calling it down, bringing it in. When I say it, basically mean us. I mean life. I mean the essence of who we are. Yes. Actually, enthused having light in my life, because Lisa, you are light. So it's be the light. You are the light. So as we call the light into our bodies and into our lives, we are calling ourselves, our souls, to life. So I'm an enthusiast. I love you said the word enthused, because that's a heart feeling, enthused. Yay. It is fabulous. Okay. Yes. Yes. I fully embody light and life. I am that I am. I'm just holding this space until time. So let's just breathe while I hold this space. And you can tap. Yay, Lisa. I give my whole spirit to life and my whole life to spirit. Oh, this reminds me, Lisa, of something you said to me a long time ago, and you actually made me aware of something that I was misspeaking. So first, I want to give you guys simple tools, and the tapping is really significant in helping to bring you present, as well as with the breath in the nose, out the mouth, and into the belly and out the belly, and you can tap at the same time, or you don't have to do the tapping and the breathing together. You can do them separate, but you really do need to do the breathing with the tapping. And what I recommend is, John used to say, pause 30 seconds between every activity. Pause 30 seconds between every activity. I used to think, how in the heck can I do that? Because I never have enough time to do anything I want anyway. So, but when I started practicing that, I realized I had more time because I contracted time, or I expanded time and contracted, or no, I expanded space and contracted time. So I had more time to get things done. I found I had more time than space. So what I recommend is three breaths, in and out, full in and out breath. And you will find yourself being much more present to whatever it is you're doing and whoever you are with. Yeah. I want to give you credit for something, Lisa, because I want to actually encourage everyone to pay attention to your words. Don't censor yourself. Just notice your words, because your words are clues about where your thinking has been up to now. And you can always reframe your thinking as you're thinking, or at minimum, after you've thought it and you express it, you can reframe those words. Because I want to remind Lisa and share with you, there was a time, you know, you have to be careful of your words. There was a time where I was actually saying, God, I want to see through your eyes. I want to see as you see. Then I started having eye problems. And I remember Lisa saying to me, Debbie, it makes me sad when you say that, because she felt like if I'm going to see as God sees, then that probably means I'll have to die. So just be conscious of how you speak. Don't be afraid of it. Just notice. And ask for what you prefer. And pay attention to who's actually asking. Am I asking from a place of being fully present? Or am I asking from mini-me? Am I asking from a part of me that hasn't been heard or felt or loved yet? Am I asking from a person, a part of me that didn't get their needs met at a certain phase in my life? And then, if that's the case, then find that part of you and love it. And then ask again from a place of wholeness and holiness of what you want, what you prefer. I say prefer because you can use the word what I want, but what you want, when you say you want something, it means you don't have it. And true prayer has nothing to do with praying for something you don't have. You can only receive what you already have. So true prayer is praying in thankfulness as if you already have it. And you already are it, and you are already living it. And just pay attention to how you phrase it. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate you all immensely. I love you. I'm thankful to be here and that you're in my life. Thanks, Lisa. Me too. It's been quite interesting. All right. I love you all. Good night.